this example may not be relevant to your business, but I think it illustrates a point. I will basically use Netflix to walk through an example for you. This demo involves a few steps. First, you have to authenticate a user using the OAuth protocol, which is kind of open source. Second of all, you will use the secure data store inside SharePoint to store the user custom user credentials, which is my Netflix credentials, my development account, so that the process will use the credential authenticating me to Netflix. And once everything is done properly, then I'll be able to get the resources to SharePoint. Okay, so my machine is not connected to the internet. In order to do the live demo, I will basically have to. With Hyper-V, I don't know if you know, I have a wireless here, but it doesn't like the wireless connection. So in my virtual image, basically, I would have to have an Ethernet cable. So I thought I want to show you the screen, if not live demo, but at least I have the screenshots for you. So I do have that prepared for you. So let me walk you through a few screens, and I'll go to the code. This example is available from SharePoint SDK. It took me a little while to make it work, but I'll be happy to provide the code to you. The reason is the code, nothing wrong with the code. It's really the configuration that you have to make sure it's right. First, this is a screen you will see, very similar to the typical external data list, right? You have column position. I had some movies selected, but I didn't want you to know what movies I like. So I deleted all those, so I just give you the vanilla look and feel. But I enjoyed Netflix myself, even though I don't have much time to watch those. But back to this demo, so you have the position, which means the first one will be the DVD you get first, once you return the DVD, and the name of that DVD, and then the image, okay? So it's very vanilla look and feel. But the data is coming live, real time from Netflix. So basically, any service provider that provide this kind of service, you should be able to get to SharePoint. Or it could be internally provided services, right? So let me walk you through a few steps, even though this looks very simple, but there's actually quite a few steps, quite a bit of code to accomplish that. It's all doable, but it does take a bit of time. So here is a process. From the user perspective, from the use case scenario, you go to the website. It's all defined. You as a developer, you as a team, that you deploy this one, it's all working. So me as a user, I access the website like I showed you the screen, right? So this is what's happening behind the scenes. So it's using BDC, so that's no secret. And because it requires a credential, so therefore BDC basically knows that you need a credential. Custom credential to access the information. So it will basically use the custom authorization handler, which you define in the secure data store. I'll show you a couple of screens, you'll see what I mean. And then through the handler, that takes a few steps to authenticate you and authorize you. In this particular case, I will have a developer account with Netflix, and then which basically gives me sort of initial sort of permission. And then you request a token. Once you get the token, it will authorize you by basically navigating to the real Netflix.com site. And then once you get an access token, you will basically be able to access resource. Now the beauty of using that OAuth is, let me ask, any of you are familiar with the OAuth protocol? Okay. The beauty is that you don't have to share passwords. It's all token-based. This OAuth, I think it is .NET version written by a gentleman. If you look up the website, I think it's available open source. The OAuth. I don't know if Netflix is using the same, but it's OAuth-based protocol. It returns the credential back to you and save the credential to the secure data store. And then return to BDC, it will allow you to access the data source. Okay, so there's a few steps behind that. So this diagram, I really like it. This was presented by a program manager at Redmond. And So I thought that this is a great diagram. Now, what about the second time or subsequent visits? Anyone would guess what's going to happen?
True.
Good point. So the response is that if it's time-based, obviously after 2 hours it expires. So if you wait 2 hours, then you probably have to repeat the process. But if you're within that validated sort of time period, you will see that it doesn't go through the whole process because it knows you are an authenticated user. Okay. So as I sort of briefly indicated that first the sample code is available from the SDK. So I encourage you to take a look at that. There's quite a bit of coding involved. I learned a lot by going through that sample myself. It took me a weekend to get this work. Don't laugh at me, but that's what happened. I struggled with the secure data store because I didn't get it right until finally I was able to get it right. And now I want to share with you the tools I used to make it work. There is a you need to create an account, you know, at Netflix for this particular example. It may not be relevant for your situation, but you need to add the handler to the secure data store. So here's a couple of screenshots. This is a developer account that you will basically create a web application, and then it will generate a key for you, and you will use that. Now back to SharePoint. We are really in the SharePoint secure data store, which is one of several service applications, right? Secure data store service is one of those applications. In SharePoint 2010, as you know, everything has become a service application, right? The idea is to be able to scale out this one to farm environment. So for example, if you use user profiles, rather than having to have a copy of users based on an Active Directory or your backend system, you will basically be able to use the same service so that if you have multiple SharePoint farms, departmental level, you know, organizational level, you can use the same user set. So I think a previous version didn't do this. I think this was a huge improvement. So back to this example, you will basically go to the central admin, not your site, but the central admin of SharePoint. So you basically navigate to the secure data store application, service application. There you define the target application. You see the ID, right? And those of you probably, let me just do this. You probably can see that. Let me see if I could use a fancy, you know what? This is the place where you define the custom handler. So it knows that you need to basically retrieve the credentials, okay? This actually is a separate web application. Maybe I should switch to that before I forget about that. So there is a, where did I put that? It's Netflix. Okay. I think it's here. This, right, thank you. So that code is available from the SDK too. Obviously, I don't have the internet connectivity, so it's telling me. So you provided a single sign-on application ID, which you define in the secure data store. So this is actually a nice tool to walk you through manually. Of the process. So back to my screenshots. And then this is the initial, the default sort of values. There's password, username. But you can actually create something like that. You could do it manually, or you can use a PowerShell script. For some reason, I couldn't really make the PowerShell script work that's available from the SDK. That's where I struggled. That's where I spent a lot of time. Somehow my applications didn't work. But I learned a lot throughout the process. So try that yourself. You know, these are I can make the screenshots available so that you can actually save some time. But all those values all defined in the PowerShell script, except when I run the script, it didn't really create those entries. It puts a null value over there, so it just never really worked. And plus, once you save the information is not visible to you. By default, it shouldn't be available to you. Therefore, the dilemma is I can't really even see it, what's inside. Therefore, I didn't really know until I figured this is the place that was wrong. So it could be something I did that didn't do right, but there are some tools available to assist this process. MSDN provides a console application to check what's in the secure data store. So you can find that out. And Netflix, in this particular case, provides a walkthrough interface for developers so that you can actually plug in your developer account and then you copy paste the token, walk along. You remember I defined the four steps? Walk through those four steps so you know exactly what are you getting if something's missing. So when I had a problem, I was able to go above and beyond to find all these things, so which is good. But this is a screen that I showed to you that that it will define the value, and then once you get the right token, it will basically navigate it to the Netflix. The URL you define in the custom handler in the secure data store. Remember that I showed you that? So it will navigate it to the, there are three different URLs. And here you basically manually type in your username and account. Because you only, humanly sort of intervene in the process, you're not supplying the code or the username password in your application. Therefore, it's never really stored anywhere. Therefore, the OAuth provides this capability of letting users to be authenticated without supplying the password by using the tokens. Okay, so this is one of the screens you're going to see. If everything's done properly, you will see this screen, and it actually recognizes there is a SharePoint BCS application defined in the account. It will actually add this application to your real Netflix account. I think I probably have a screen that shows you that. So if you log into your Netflix.com account, you will see. And I watch Netflix sometimes on Xbox. Therefore, it also shows the Netflix Xbox client. And I use the mobile Windows Phone 7. I'm sounding like a sales guy. And there's another application. This is all done automatically behind the scenes. But for you as a developer, when you need to test an application, it will basically add the application you define in your developer account to your Netflix commercial account. This one just shows the XML data schema of Netflix. Now, this particular example may not be very useful to you for your application, but this process, I think, is very helpful in terms of how to work with external data using the different sort of authorization method. And those of you who are big Twitter fans, I think Twitter is going to implement this, which is from the basic authentication to OAuth. So it'll be interesting to test the process with Twitter. The question is that, does it make sense for you to bring the Twitter information to your SharePoint? That's a different sort of issue. Any questions? And I can actually open the Visual Studio just to show you the code. Again, the code is available from the SDK. So there's actually quite a bit of code involved. Fortunately, I didn't have to write the code. Basically, it basically retrieves the credentials. It's encrypted. You have decrypted the credential and pass the information, plus getting the data from Netflix, which is strongly typed, so you need to sort of deserialize that information. But fortunately, that's all done. But in terms of the code directly relevant to the BCS, this is all the code it takes. Basically, it defines the query item, which is a single item, plus the enumerable method to read the whole list. This is the beginning point. Then it basically will, you know, use the Netflix connector, go to the secure data store, all that. So I wouldn't really bore you by going through all the code. Those of you who are interested, I strongly encourage you take a look at the SDK. Set up a test environment and make sure it's working. I learned a lot. Hopefully you will do that too. And feel free to pin me that if you say Z, I'm stuck. I remember you said it didn't work. So hopefully I can offer some. Hopefully you don't have to get any calls or emails. You guys are good. Any questions about using BCS to create a custom solutions that retrieve the data from SQL Server, some external data sources such as Netflix? Right? Does that help? I mean, these scenarios I think are very useful in your real environment. There's one more demo, one more big topic I would like to share with you before I let you go home. This could take 2 hours, but I'll try to finish within 20 minutes. Any questions before I switch to another one? Let me just close that. So let me bring back to the, okay, this is the last one, the WCF Real Services. Okay, how many of you are familiar with WCF Real Services? Okay, we've got a couple of them. Can I put you on the spot? Can you explain what it is?
Well, it's just a special form of WCF for rich internet applications where you're,
okay.
To me, it's just a simpler way of doing WCF.
Yeah. That's correct, but let me just rephrase that. WCF basically is, WCF Real Service is based on WCF. With WCF, WCF basically is a component of the .NET framework, right? It allows you to write secure web services. It's based on the WS star protocol standards. So the idea is to use that WCF services for your serverless applications. You could do that without really using the WCF Real Services. The issue is that you have to define the web services and then you know, call those web services. So the Microsoft team basically decided to make that process a little simpler for developers by automating this process, by not exposing the endpoints explicitly. So it's all sort of condensed or compacted within the application by automating this process. So again, if you need to learn more, watch, you know, check out the resources on the internet and watch Brian Ray's, you know, webcast. But I can show you actually one quick example of how you can write a WCF Real Services for a Silverlight application. And then we go from there to see how you can deploy this service or, you know, the Silverlight application to SharePoint, which will consume the service. But there's one question that I've been itchy to ask you. Would this work or would this not work? Would a WCF Real Services work for SharePoint 2010? The answer is no, by out-of-the-box feature. The reason is very simple. SharePoint is an ASP.NET 3.5 based application with, you know, some server components, search index. But it's based on .NET 3.5, which is .NET 2.0, right? If you go to the IIS web server, there is no .NET 3.5. There is .NET 2.0, .NET 4.0. WCF Real Services is based on .NET 4.0. Therefore, you know there's incompatibility right there. So by default, you cannot really deploy a WCF Real Services to SharePoint directly. So the workaround is that you basically expose that service at another location on the same server or different server, right? But you use the Real Services, take advantage of the WCF Real Services so you don't have to write the code. Okay, we've got questions.
Does that story improve with the pending, as of next month, Service Pack 1 for SharePoint 2010, or is it the same story?
I don't really know. I don't really know. But I'll walk you through the process. Okay. So in the interest of time, let's walk through this quickly. So if I want to create a real WCF real services, so I would use Visual Studio, go to new project. In this time, I would choose Silverlight, and I'll go to the Silverlight application C# version. And you will notice that there's an option for me to enable WCF real services. And I just use the default, okay? How many of you are familiar with Silverlight application? Okay, so you probably have seen the screen. Now I've installed the real WCF real services, you know, tools, so you have this option. So once you, this is all done, you know what? I was gonna actually plan to go through the step-by-step, which actually is not, shouldn't take too much time, but let me try that. So this one basically is just the default, project solution files, projects, and then selected the web version, which is the hosting environment for the Silverlight application. And you will basically say, I want to add an item and a new item. And first I want to add a data element and use the ADO.NET model. And I'll basically do, say custom model. Customer model. From there, I will basically walk through this wizard by connecting to the database. I have a few connecting strings created already, so I'll use this one of those to connect to the AdventureWorks LT database, which is on locally on my installed on my server. And then from there, you can pick up a table. You know, for this demo, I'm just going to pick up a table. So I'll pick up the customer table. And then you just pick up all the default options and then create. So by walking through this wizard, basically, it's accessing the database, it's creating the mapping, it creates the class that defines all those properties or table fields for you. So, you'll basically save that. You'll basically build a solution, so it will basically compile the solution, and then make the class available for next step. Okay. So next, I will basically do this. I say add another item. This is where magic happens, because so far we just defined things on the web server, right, for the web application. This is where you say, I want to add another item. Thank you. This doesn't look like the one I need. Why it's not adding? Select the wrong option. New item, okay. So this time I will create, select a web. And I will basically pick up this domain class service here. Okay. Customer domain services. Okay. By doing so, you are creating the WCF services at this point. So there's a few steps. This is the option I want to use. By default, the old data is not selected. But because we want it, we know that this WCF real services cannot be directly deployed to our SharePoint environment. Rather, we want to use the WCF real services. So the option you needed to choose is to expose the old data endpoint. Now, check out the old data. It's basically an open protocol for you to query updating data. So I'll select the customer and choose enable editing. And hit OK. Now, I'll save this one. But before I do compile this project, you will notice that, let me just show all the files. Look at the Silverlight that you basically have a few folders and all that, right? But nothing else. So as soon as you compile that, if you say, I want to build the whole solution, it actually will automatically generate a hidden folder, which is almost like you use those service utility to create the proxy for a web service. So if you refresh that, you should see that. See that? Generated the code. This basically is a kind of version. It's like the stub, the proxy that you can use in the Silverlight application. Okay? So let me just save to save a few minutes, and maybe I'll just use another application that I created. Just a couple of lines of code you need to add to that. I think it is Silverlight application one. Let me see if this is the right one. You will basically add a data grid to the Silverlight canvas, and then I basically bind the data source to that grid. Just a couple lines of code. This is all I have to do. On the XML file, I basically drag and drop the grid. I just drag drop the data grid, to the canvas, and you get this item. And in terms of code, all I had to do is to add these lines of code and define the data context, and then add it to using statements. So if you're curious to see what this one is, if you just go to the definition of that, you will see it's that silverlight.web.g.cs, which is this file. So it's like your local proxy file for your service. So basically, this is where the magic is. So when you use the load operation function and then bind this one to that, you're all good. So now if I basically say, start with a debug, it should really return a list of the customers. Okay. So basically, I'll walk you through the process of creating a Silverlight application using the WCF Real Services. Okay. So the next step is how do you expose that Real Services to the same Silverlight application, which will be deployed to SharePoint. So what we have done is that in my demo is I selected the old data option, right? By selecting the old data option, I can only deploy the service to another web server, another website. So you basically separate the Silverlight application logically from the service. See, this is basically what you get, a data of the list of customers. Okay? So this is pretty straightforward. We should be okay. So the next one is really to, let me just go to the, basically it's the same service. So I basically, throw away the Silverlight application, but I just take the service portion. So I expose that to this. I create a new site because, on SharePoint, it manages the whole environment. So I basically create another port, another website for this demo. Which is here, the old data. Okay. So this is the service basically based on the WCF Real Services. Those of you who do not really know how, most of you probably know how to deploy a service to a web server. Hopefully this will work. This one is available, the information is available from the website of the service reference. So I basically define the namespace. So if I save that, I'll have that. Then once you have the service, because Silverlight is basically a client application within the browser, right? So therefore, we're going to use asynchronous call. So I'll basically use the data service collection, which is a part of the system.data.services.client. So if you don't know, you can always check, say go to definitions. It will basically open up the underlying class. So that shows you it's from the system.data.services.client. And then also this customer domain services. So if you don't really know, it will basically tell you it's based on that Real Services, old data-based Real Services. And then you basically use a synchronous call bind this query to this customer binding collection. So when the call is finished, you will basically assign the customer binding collection object, the data source, to the customer grid.item source, right? So this application basically should work now. Right now, I'm not doing anything in SharePoint. It's just a straightforward SilverLight application, okay? So the difference is now this SilverLight application is calling the old data-based WCF real service, correct? We choose that option, old data. So we haven't touched the SharePoint yet. So wonderful, it's working, okay? Now again, there's no security, you know, life is really easy here, but you're probably gonna do something, you know, more secure. So the last step we need to do is to deploy this SilverLight application to SharePoint. There are two options to deploy the SharePoint, I mean the SilverLight application, right? Option one, put the ZAP file to the server physically, right? And then option two is to save the ZAP file to a document library, correct? The second option is more like we call it a sandbox solution because it's contained within that environment. So I selected the second option. So let me show you that. By going back to the team site. I put the, you can put this anywhere, but I put this one into the site assets library. Actually it's here. There's a SilverLight app using data. Okay? That's a ZAP file. A ZAP file is a zip file that includes, you know, assemblies, you know, metadata, the manifest file that lists, you know, how many what files that are included. Plus any custom assemblies that you need to support this application. So after that, you basically need to go to the SharePoint to add this SilverLight application as a web pod. SharePoint 2010 comes with a web pod, SilverLight web pod, that will host any SilverLight application. Even though SharePoint is based on .NET 3.5, SilverLight technology at the time when we released SharePoint, it was 3.0. But it doesn't really matter because SilverLight is a browser-based plugin. So as long as you host this application, as long as you have the SilverLight 4.0 runtime installed on your machine, it will just work, right? It downloads to your local machine. So I basically create a page or can add this, you know, a web pod to any web page. Just as you would. And therefore, you have this SilverLight application right here. There was a lot of questions on the internet about, you know, can you deploy WCF real services to SharePoint? We know the answer is one word. No, it's a no. But can you provide a workaround? Yes. So you basically use old data protocol, right? You know, host the service on the same server or different server and expose that service. Basically, this service is available not to SilverLight, but also to any application, correct? So essentially, we are not really deploying WCF real services directly to SharePoint, but rather we're hosting the service and then consume the service by a SharePoint application, a web pod, in this case, SilverLight web pod. So actually, it's pretty amazing that you could do something like that. So if you look at that, and, you know, by using WCF real services, it saves me a lot of time for coding. Yet at the same time, I can, you know, add my business logic, getting the data to my SilverLight web pod. Now with old data, you can't really update the data. So there is a WCF real services toolkit that will expose the same sort of service as SOAP or as JSON. So therefore, with those two options, you can actually have more control of the data. You can actually, you know, not only read but also update the data. And the WCF Real Services toolkit is available for download. I think we're 2 minutes ahead of 8 o'clock. I know I went through a lot, but hopefully this, you know, we do cover quite a bit stuff that you can take away. This session is recorded. Hopefully you can review that if you need to. What I want to make sure is that you know, we do cover the important aspect so that you can go back to try that yourself. We went through, you know, using Excel datasheet, Excel data services, and then we talked about how to use SharePoint Designer, work with the built-in connectors to get data. Then we talked about how to use Visual Studio 2010 to create a custom solution by using the BCS. And we talked about a few options. And then finally, we talked about how to use WCF Real Services to expose the service for solutions that you can deploy to SharePoint. In this particular case, we talk about creating a Silverlight application. Thank you very much.